spin a little slower, but once this is done, we'll pick back up. Quick disclaimer before we get started. I have read every book that you have all up here on the screen. I have either read it or listened to it. I am only vouching for the books on the screen. If there's a book in a series that's not on the screen, I haven't read it. And so I'm not saying that's a good book if it's a sequel. It's not super easy to find books anymore that we can put in our Christian schools. So that's why I want to make sure you know that I've created a list that, as far as I know, from all of the reading I've done, these should be able to go in your classrooms, and you shouldn't have parents complain, but you never know these days what parents are going to complain about. But I've done my very best to give you books that you can feel confident in. So speaking of that, last year I told you about the Forgotten Five, I told you about Pizza and Taco, I told you about PB&J. Sequels are all great. You're good to go. You're good to go. All right, let's start with some picture books. Ironic. want to see the inside of it, go visit Erica Meredith down in the exhibits. And I'll bet they'll like it. Pretty cool, you guys. This is a big deal. This will go down in history. That you were at the cover reveal. Put that on social media. I was at the cover reveal. All right. Let's get into some chapter books. Some books for younger readers. Let's start with Squirrelish. Oh, man. I would describe this book as the Jungle Book meets Central Park.
I would be right there.
Cordelia is a girl who was raised by squirrels. And so she can do all the things squirrels can do. And her squirrel that actually raised her is named Shakespeare. They live in Central Park. Cordelia can jump from tree to tree. She hunts for acorns. She chases other squirrels. But Cordelia is starting to wonder what the human world is like. And one day, Cordelia wanders a little too far from the nest, and she is discovered by a gymnastics teacher. What are the odds? And the gymnastics teacher invites her to come to gymnastics, and she learns about the human world. And I'm not going to tell you much more than that. This is a great book for younger readers. The themes are friendship, family, fitting in. I think this is going to be a series, and I'm very excited to see where Cordelia goes. Honestly, a great read aloud for first or second grade. Stick and Stone. Who knows the Stick and Stone books? I'm not going to tell you too much about these. They're not graphic novels. Same characters, same sweetness. Younger readers looking for a graphic novel. Stick and Stone. There you go. Super Pancake. I love this book. The main character, her name is Peggy Pancake. And she has a hard time as a pancake. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. Sometimes she misses the bus. Sometimes she can't live up to the standards set by her brother. And she really wants to stand up to bullies. Well, one day, a secret potion is slipped into her lunch, and she suddenly has superpowers. And she is out to save Breakfast Town. She needs to save Breakfast Town from Dr. Breakfast Sandwich and his hench toasts. Good job, good job. She also has a trusty sidekick named Luke Croissant. Second through fourth graders are going to love this book. Older kids are going to catch the humor, like the fact that the bacon bullies always speak in rhyme. Genius. Sherby and Shake, The Not-So-Nice Neighbor by Kirby Larson. I once had a pastor say to me, if you don't like someone, get to know them. And I would say this book lives that out. Sherby is quiet. He's looking forward to a nice, quiet summer, just reading books. And Shake is a little loud, and he's out there. And Shake has just arrived because he's staying with his grandmother while his mom and stepdad are on their honeymoon. So Sherby is stuck with Shake. But can they get along? Can their differences, can they overcome their differences to form a friendship? I have to read it to find out. It's a great length, perfect for second and third grade, and I do believe the second book comes out on May 7th. So I'm very curious where Kirby Larson takes the series. Plum. Oh, Plum is a peacock. Peacocks serve as the zoo ambassadors for the Athensville Zoo, and Plum is one of their ambassadors. However, not everyone likes the peacocks, and there's one animal in particular named Itch. He is a nindbing, which is apparently a small marsupial found in Australia. See the things you learn from books? Itch was not the most cute and lovable character, but he longs to be an ambassador and lecture the world about zoos. And so he hatches a plan to frame the peacocks to keep them from being the ambassadors. So that's in the first book. In the second book, Snow Day for Plum. In this book, all of the animals have been invited to a school for a presentation. Unfortunately, they arrive with an unexpected blizzard, and the school is shut down, and Plum and the zoo animals are stuck in the school with all the school animals, and they have just a blast overnight. Again, great for younger readers, first, second, third grade. Very fun. Bert the Beetle. Ashley Spires wrote The Most Magnificent Thing, The Most Magnificent Idea, Overscheduled Andrew, and she is now coming out with Bert the Beetle as a graphic novel. Bert the Beetle is he is convinced he has superpowers, like the other beetles. Turns out, June bugs don't have special powers. Nope. But Bert doesn't give up. I love his positive thinking. There's some great science, some great facts. I actually laughed out loud in some of these books. I think your younger readers are going to love Bert the Beetle. This is a series of books that a parent recommended to me after she had challenged another set of books in the library. So, of course, I read them. Are they the best books? No. But will they be good for your emerging readers looking for a little more of a challenge? I think so. The beautiful thing about all three of these books is the characters overlap, but the stories don't follow each other. So you really can read them in any order you want. In every one, there is a simple mystery that needs to be solved. There's a fun adventure along the way. I do believe there will only be three of these books because Patricia Riley Giff actually passed away in 2021. So these were probably some of her very last books. So for your younger readers looking for an easy mystery. Also, are you aware that A to Z is coming out with Animal Mysteries? And it is a beautifully diverse cast in these books. The main character is this girl in the wheelchair, and I failed to write down her name. So, I fail on that one, sorry. You'll have to read them to make sense. But they're easy, they're just like the original A to Z mysteries, but the representation is in them. They are great in length, the storylines are great, perfect for younger readers. Let's move on. It's the middle grades. Take a quick drink while you turn your neighbors.
Abby is the girl's name.
What?
Abby.
Abby! Thank you. Abby. Yep. And the two other characters in it are brother and sister. They're twins. If I recall correctly. I did read both of them. All right. Let's start with a little older book that I just recently discovered. This is called Stella. And this is a dog. Stella is a dog who has always worked as an airport chemical sniffing dog. And unfortunately, one day she misses a scent and a bomb goes off. So you do need to be aware that for your more sensitive readers, this might be a little bit of a struggle. The author handles that situation with a lot of care and a lot of grace, but Stella's handler does die in that explosion. Because of that, increased anxiety. She is a dog that cannot work in an airport anymore because any little sound, anything will trigger her anxiety, and she is on her last hope because every house she has been placed in, it doesn't work out. So Stella finally is placed with Chloe. Now Chloe and her mom run a farm, and they have raised other service dogs. And what they don't know is the whole story is told through Stella's perspective. What they don't know is Stella is able to sniff out scents that other people and dogs can't. So Chloe actually has epilepsy. And Stella is able to detect when she is about to have a seizure. But because of her anxiety, they haven't quite figured out yet that what she's doing is alerting them to a seizure coming on. But they kind of wonder if it's just her anxiety and she's acting up. It is a sweet story, but again, your more sensitive readers are going to struggle a little bit. Squished is a graphic novel. Growing up in a large family can be hard. And Avery Lee just finished up fifth grade, and she is one of seven children, to quote Maria Van Trapp, seven. But she loves her family, but she also wants independence. As she gets older, her friendships start to shift. There's a talk of a move to a new state as a possibility, and Avery has to come to grips that change is inevitable. But the Lee family, they are just going to work their way right into your hearts. It is a sweet, sweet story. It's family, friendship, growing up, perfect for fourth grade and up. Great graphic novel. One thing I love about graphic novels, or books in general, is learning about different cultures. Books have a way to teach us things, believe it or not. And in Measuring Up, the Taiwanese tradition and way of life is highlighted. Let's see, Cece has just moved from Taiwan Taiwanese beliefs and traditions. It talks about struggles for immigrant families, and just all the Julia Child references in it are fabulous. All right, let's talk about a new author, Matt McMahon, who happens to be Lisa McMahon's husband, who happens to be Trisha Kiepert's brother-in-law, has started writing his Monsterious series. Now, I know from looking at them, you might be thinking, MJ, have you lost your mind? I do not like scary things. I don't watch scary movies. I sleep with lights on. I don't do scary things. But I always have students ask me for scary books, right? And so how do we find scary books that are not too scary and yet fit that scare factor for just enough kids? I would say these are some books that you might be looking for. All three have come out since May. I do believe he's only has a four-book deal, so there's only one more scheduled for now. But if we buy enough of them, he might get more. All three are standalone books, so you don't need to read them in order. So if you don't like that the middle one has a baby-snatching element to it, don't put that one in your library. The kids won't even know, because they all stand by themselves. I would say the last one, The Terror in Shadow Canyon, probably has the least amount of scare because it's just a big spider. In the first one, there are skeletons. They're trapped in like a haunted mansion, and things come alive at night. So these books aren't going to be for everyone, but you do have kids in your class that love a good scare. And these are a good length. They're clean. They're funny. And it's, you know, a different way. They're very much along the lines of American Chillers and Goosebumps. So, consider that. Real quick on the one and only Ruby. This is the third in the series, One and Only Ivan, One and Only Bob, One and Only Ruby. This is Ruby's backstory, and we learn how she went from Africa to the mall in Tacoma. It's a great length. Ruby is so sweet. It's a great addition to that collection. And I just read yesterday that on May 7th, Catherine Applegate is releasing a book called The One and Only Family, where it looks to get all of them together. And that might be the end of that series. All right, let's talk about some history comics. Now, there are several books in the series. I have only read this one, so you all know what that means. If you want the others, you need to read them. This one is great because it celebrates national parks. And we follow our two guides. Our two guides are Sasquatch and a bald eagle, and they take us through the history of the parks. They take us through how indigenous Native Americans had to lose their land for these parks. They take us through the pitfalls of early parks, the hopes for futures of the national parks. For your fourth graders, you can get a free national park pass. It's a great book. And again, there are many more history comics. I've only read that one. All right. A different suggestion here. Kids love telling jokes. They love them. So let's start with my favorite, all-time favorite joke. All right. What did the librarian say when the library was a mess? We should be ashamed of ourselves. All right. So LOL 101 is basically a guidebook for kids who want to learn how to tell jokes. It teaches them Feelings teacher at school. This book, especially the first one, celebrates family, friendship, fitting in, how to deal with anxiety, how to deal with pressures and stress. So, the first one is all about friendships. The second one, in Penny Draws a School Play, the fifth grader is going to put on a play, and Penny is, of course, very anxious about it, and she ends up getting a part, and she just doesn't quite know what to do with that, performing in front of people. And we also discover that the secret her parents had in the first book was that her mom is pregnant with twins. And so there's also talk of moving to a new, bigger house when the twins arrive. Penny is just an endearing character. Your fifth graders and your fourth graders, it's a great, easier book for fifth graders that features a fifth grader. So I love that. There are spot illustrations throughout. There are comic panels throughout it. Just a great little series. Okay. I'm going to have a hard time describing this book because it's a little out there. But stick with me. If you have fantasy readers, this is a great book for them. There is a virus all over the world. I wonder where they got that idea. And so Clay's summer is not quite what he expected it to be. One day, while he is out exploring in the woods, he comes across a dog. Now, this dog happens to be an elf hound who belongs to the people under the mountain. But Clay does not know that there are people under the mountain, and so he takes the dog home. When the people under the mountain discover that their dog, their elf dog, is missing, their elf hound is missing, they come out from their world. Clay also ends up meeting Amos, who is an owl-headed child. Now, all of these different worlds don't like each other. And this is where it got, like, what is happening in these worlds? But it's fantasy, and it's told well. So, I like fantasy. It's not my favorite, but I like it. I was glued to it. I wanted to know how it ended. I wanted to know how these worlds came together. And there were some great quotes mixed in through it, like this. Forget true friendship because there's too much to remind you of it. Mm. And there were just family, friendship, adventure, identity, in who, like what world you belonged to, all mixed in together. So, I hope that helps a little bit. Heavy, heavy fantasy. All right, where are my Ted Lasso fans? Yeah. So here's the deal. Did you catch in one of the episodes that Ted was reading this book to his son? Oh, some of you didn't. You'd have to go back now and find that episode. When I saw that he was reading this book to his son, I automatically thought, well, I need to read that book because Ted Lasso's reading it to his son. This book is so fun. It's actually written by Marcus Rashford, who I didn't know anything about, but he actually plays football. That's soccer to those of us in America. He plays football for Manchester United. And he tells the story almost as if he is the main character. So Marcus is a 12-year-old boy who kicked his favorite football over the fence. And anything that goes over the fence, we don't know what happens to it. So there's a little bit of a Sandlot feel to it. And so Marcus desperately, desperately wants this soccer, this football back. And he gets a mysterious note that tells him to come join the Breakfast Club investigators. And so his new friends, Stacy, Lisa, and Asim, they uncover clue after clue as to what goes on the other side of the fence. Because this is written in England, there's a lot of great English spellings in it, a lot of references to things that happen in English in England. There is a second book. I have not read it. I will be, though. But just be aware that I don't know how easy it is to find this book in America. I had to order it off of Amazon. But super fun. Super fun. Especially if you've got soccer fans in your life. It's a great, great read. Katie Camillo, I'm convinced she can write whatever she wants and it will get published. Well, if you've got two Newbery Awards on your book, you can write whatever you want. But I'm a person that if Katie Camillo writes it, I'm going to read it, for sure. This is her newest one. It just came out August 10th, so it's very, very new. It is hot off the presses. This is a unique Katie Camillo book. It actually is an original fairy tale. Kate wrote this fairy tale herself. So it'd be a great read aloud for the start of her folk or fairy tale unit. In this original fairy tale, there are five puppets: a wolf, an owl, a boy, a girl, and a king. Now, these puppets cannot move independently, but they can speak. And so we hear all of their thoughts, we hear their hopes, we hear their dreams, we hear what they want to do in the world. But they've been trapped in a trunk because the person that owned them put them in a trunk and kind of forgot about them. Eventually, they are brought to a new home, and they do get to live out some of their fantasies and their dreams in very unique ways. It's a great folktale, and if you just need a good shorter, which again I love, we have a lot of long middle grade books, so a short middle grade book that kids can get through, I always celebrate that. But it's Katie Camillo, so the words are exquisite, and it's just a cozy feeling, great illustrations throughout it. Oh, and the puppets of Spellhorse. I believe there are going to be more fairy tales. I'm not sure if it'll all be based on this, but this is the start of a Katie Camillo fairy tale season of her life. Leon the Extraordinary, he's my new favorite ordinary kid who longs to be a superhero. Leon is in fifth grade, and he lives among superheroes. But Leon is just ordinary. Aw, poor kid. In fact, he actually says at one point in time, "I don't have superpowers, but I want to help people and do good. Can I be a super too? I mean, come on." But because Leon doesn't have superpowers, it doesn't control him. And so, can Leon stop the villain? Can he save his friends and family? Can he be super while being ordinary? Leon is a great character. I simply, truly love this book. And there is a book, too, coming out on August 6th. So we have a ways to wait. But I think kids are going to connect with Leon and this whole story. It's a great, great graphic novel. All right, quick sip of water. We'll move on to slightly older readers. Ooh, it's a great on time this year. I hope I'm giving you enough information. If any of these books sound interesting, most of them are posted on my Instagram as well. All right, let's talk about Gary Schmidt. I mean, it's the great Gary Schmidt. This book is phenomenal. Has anyone read it already? Yeah, it's so good. The Labors of Hercules Beale. Hercules Beale is not a mythical hero. He is just a shorter than average middle school boy. And he misses his parents because about a year ago, his parents both died in a car accident. And so Hercules and his brother Achilles, yes, his parents liked Greek mythology, they're doing their best to survive and to thrive. Hercules is in sixth grade, and he is about to embark on a year-long project covering the 12 labors of Hercules, which has been assigned to him by his teacher, Lieutenant Colonel Hufford, in room 117. Only Gary Schmidt can write teachers the way he does. Achilles is busy working on their family farm and greenhouse, but Hercules goes to the Cape Cod Academy for Environmental Studies, all the while trying to heal the loss of their parents. This book celebrates community. It celebrates family. It talks about loss. It talks about healing. You are going to learn a lot about Greek mythology, but the lessons and the life lessons in this book are spot on for middle school age kids and written in only way that Gary Schmidt can. It's just phenomenal. Highly, highly recommend. Nothing Else But Miracles by Kate Elbus. So let's be honest, I cry in public a lot when I finish books. Just happens. I was reading this one on a plane and just weeping. But it's okay. Dory Byrne lives with her two brothers, 17-year-old Fish and 7-year-old Pike, in New York City's Lower East Side. Yes, they're named after Fish. this to them. The neighborhood will give you what you need. And the whole neighborhood takes care of these three siblings. Until they get a new landlord. And the new landlord does not like the fact that there are three children living alone in his apartment. So the three kids need a plan, and they need a place to hide. So they end up finding refuge in an old, abandoned, forgotten hotel. And they make it their own world. But how long can they do this? Especially since they haven't heard from their father in weeks. And they're not quite sure what's going on. And they're not sure how long they can keep the secret of living in this old house. I was completely connected, obviously, if I'm crying on a plane. I was completely connected to these characters, to the community. I have heard some people say they didn't like how Dory almost prays to the Statue of Liberty. I didn't really read it that way. I looked at it more as Dory finding hope in the Statue of Liberty and the light that the Statue of Liberty gives. Faith is talked about a little bit, but the kids have a great bond. It's just a great, great story. Enemies of the Orchard. This is also a brand new book written by Dana Vanderlucht, who lives in Hudsonville. If you have any ties to Western Michigan, I highly recommend this book. Both of my parents read this book. It's amazing. It's written in verse, and it is set during World War II. We get two different perspectives. We get Claire, who lives in the Allendale, Michigan area, and her family owns an orchard. But because the war is going on and there is no one to harvest for them, they end up hiring German prisoners of war who have been brought to America, to the Western Michigan area, in order to work for these farmers. This is a true story. And so one of those POWs is named Carl. Carl is beginning to question everything he learned in Nazi Germany. He's realizing that what he was told wasn't true. We also have a little wrench in the system because Claire's brother Danny is overseas fighting in World War II. So we have a German prisoner of war. We have Claire, who lives in Western Michigan, and their worlds collide. All the while, you've got one brother who is fighting for America and out in Europe. It's a great story. Carl and Claire start to form a friendship. They start to understand each other. I cried at the end of this one too. And there is loss, there is hope, there is redemption. And the alternating voices between Carl and Claire is very cool. Make sure you pay attention to where the words are positioned on the page. And she actually just came and visited our middle school. And she is a great author to have come and talk to your kids. Again, Western Michigan Ties, check out this book. Last year I told you about Starfish. What Work in Progress, I would say, is the male version of Starfish. This book is great for middle schoolers, and it all started in fourth grade when Nick Fisher said to Will Chambers, "You're fat." And right then, Will Chambers started to feel less than. He started to doubt himself, push everyone away, and he kind of tried to become invisible. 3 years and 2 or 3 months later, Will's life isn't any better, and Will needs help. I think this is the first book I've ever read where a male character is struggling with body image, which I think it's a good thing to talk about. I think guys struggle with that just as much as girls do. This is a painful, beautiful, important book. It's written in free verse, almost like a journal. I think this is another book that before you put it into the hands of your students, you want to read it first so you know what they're coming across. There's bullying. There is body shaming. In fact, the whole book starts with this content warning. It starts with, "This story contains content that may be triggering for some readers, including but not limited to depictions of body shaming, body dysmorphia, binge eating, food restrictions, and disordered eating." There's also a reference list in the back. But it's an important book that I think could be used in a variety of ways within our Christian schools. Hoops. It's set in 1976. It's a great year, right, Kevin?
No.
1976. What a beautiful year. Judy Warren is the main protagonist of this book. bit of a struggle ahead of them. There are no uniforms. They have to practice after the boys are done, of course. There's no bus for taking them to away games, and there's no recognition. But Judy and her team start to do really well, and they start to make it into the state playoffs, and they get farther and farther, and suddenly people recognize them and realize what's happening. This book celebrates women's sports and where they came from to where they are now. I think it's an inspiring story. I loved it, even though, believe it or not, I did not play basketball. Now you all know. The Mona Lisa vanishes. Did you know? I didn't know this. Did you know that the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre in 1911 and that it was missing for 2 years? Friends by connecting with an aunt, and she eventually has a hard conversation with Evelise works through a lot in this book. She struggles with feelings of hopelessness. She struggles with wondering if the world would be a better place without her. And she finally does discover that she is worthy and she is worth looking into. I appreciate the honesty. The honesty in this book for mental health is great. Again, I would read this one before I gave it to kids. It's a quick read. I was glued to it. I think I read it in one sitting. Like, I know I did. I sat down, read the whole thing, so I wanted to know what happened. And Evelise is just a character you care about a lot. Alias Anna is another book written in verse. Lots of novels in verse this year, which is kind of great because it's a way for kids to read a book quickly. So I'm loving all these novels and verses that are coming out. This is set in Ukraine during World War II. Zana is a young Jewish girl who has an amazing musical ability. She plays the piano beautifully. Her entire family is removed from their home, and Zana's future looks pretty bad, but this book takes you on her journey of survival. Zana's son, Greg Dawson, with the help of Susan Hood, wrote this book, and it basically tells the story of Anna and her sister outwitting the Nazis by playing their piano and using her skills right in plain sight. Highly, highly recommend this book. The Door of No Return by Kwame Alexander. Ooh, this is going to be a trilogy. Also written in verse. Again, middle school, there are a lot of heavy and tragic events in this. This starts out in 1860 in the Asante Kingdom, which we call Ghana today. 11-year-old Kofi, he just loves life. He goes to school, he has his family, he loves to go swimming, but one night, tragedy occurs. And their village is raided, and many people and many family members are taken and captured and killed. But Kofi and his brother, they do survive, but now they're fighting for their life. And the book ends with the two of them being put onto a boat, which I think is going to brilliantly set up the next book in this series. Even if your kids don't read this one, you should, because I think this is a trilogy people are going to be talking about for sure. Curl Friends is a new graphic novel by Shireen Miller. This can easily go younger. I put it in the older category because it's set in middle school and because this is the first of at least four books. You never quite know which direction they're going to take. So that's why I put it in the older category, but it could easily be read younger. This reminds me a lot of Babysitter's Club, so of course, loved it. Charlie is new to school. She's a military family, and so they've moved around a lot. And she is determined to start over and to start fresh. She tries to get rid of some of her babyish ways. She tries to fit in, but can't quite fit in because she's not being herself. And so when she finds this group of friends called the Curl Friends, they help her realize that it's much, much better to be herself. And they take her in, and the friendship is beautiful. And as far as I know, the next three books will all feature one of the other friends. So, it was sweet. It's a sweet, sweet story. Once in a Blue Moon. This is another novel in verse. This one deals with grief, anxiety, loss, family, friendship. James Henry used to be brave, but after the incident at the lighthouse, which we don't actually find out what happened at the lighthouse until the very end of the book, but something happened at the lighthouse with his mom and his dog. And ever since then, James Henry's anxiety has been through the roof. He actually can't leave his house. His twin sister, Hattie, tries her hardest to help. There are bullies down the street who are unkind and make his anxiety worse. In true disclosure, there's a point in the story that got very fuzzy and very confusing how they ended up being lost in the woods. But once you got past, like, how did they get here? It was still a great book. The kids are endearing. They do learn. They grow. It's great. It's all about celebrating small victories, especially when you are dealing with anxiety. Jacqueline Woodson, another amazing writer and storyteller. This book, Remember Us, is set in the 1970s, and it is the summer before Sage started. starts seventh grade. Unfortunately, however, that summer in this part of New York, the whole neighborhood seems to be on fire. There are fires constantly. In fact, they have named Bushwick neighborhood the Matchbox. And so they're all always ready at a moment's notice to flee their apartment buildings because it may burn down. So Sage loves basketball, but she's also at this age trying to figure out where she fits in with her friends, her girl friends that she's had since she was a child. But she likes to play basketball with the guys, and so she's trying to find her place while navigating this neighborhood, while navigating fires, while navigating the loss of her father. But it's a great length. It's short. It's easy to understand. It is masterfully told. If you're looking for just a great book to add to your 5th, 6th, 7th grade collection, this would be a great one. Miracle by Karen Chow is all about dealing with life after loss. Once again, all these books have a loss in them. There's no warm and parting, though. It's so good. It's okay. Amy is a budding musician, and however, after her father dies of cancer, her music disappears. She doesn't know how to go on without her dad. Amy and her mom are struggling to move on in the world and how to live without dad, especially when dad shared her love of music, her love of food, and her love of Harry Potter. Rio and Bella are her friends. She started to push them away. Amy and her mother are having struggles because they don't know what to do with each other anymore. It's beautifully and carefully written. The author actually talks about her own loss of her father. So it's a great, beautiful story of hope, redemption, and healing. Four Eyes is a book about growing up and transitioning into middle school, which we all know can be hard. And in fact, it gets even harder when Rex is not fitting in. He has not had a growth spurt. He is dealing with bullies. He's dealing with friendship changes. And to make matters worse, he has to get glasses, which is when the bullies really become relentless. Rex's home life is also complicated. He has an absent dad. His mom and his stepdad are struggling to make ends meet. So can Rex find his place and his voice? Be aware, the bullying in this book is brutal. It is brutal, brutal bullying. So if you have kids that have been bullied, be aware that this might be a painful book for them. Dusty Bowling has finally written a book called Dust. And this is, how do I describe this one? I read this one on the plane as well. This is a fast-paced, heart-wrenching story. Evelyn, who is the main character, she almost died of an asthma attack when she was young. And so her parents moved her to Clear Canyon City, Arizona, where breathing has been much, much easier, until Adam shows up. Adam is quiet, he's unkempt, and as soon as Adam arrives, dust storms arrive. And dust storms like Clear Canyon City have never experienced. And so Evelyn starts to wonder, is it connected somehow? Is whatever happened in Adam's life connected to these dust storms? So we get some elements of fantasy and magic mixed in to the realism. There are some difficult themes of abuse and bullying. The abuse is handled very carefully. Dusty Bowling actually talks about it in the back of the book, why she decided to write this book. It comes from some of her own past. So definitely be aware for kids that may have struggled with abuse. It might be a book they connect with. It might be a painful book for them. But it definitely is a book worth reading and having in your classrooms. Finally, yes. I almost didn't add this to my list. Let me tell you why. Because it's painful. It's very painful. But Lolo's Light is about Millie. And Millie is so excited to experience her very first solo babysitting job. And she babysits for sweet Lolo. But the night after Lolo babysits, Lolo dies of SIDS. And Millie blames herself. And the whole book is Millie trying to piece this all together, and she realizes it's not her fault. There was nothing she could have done. What a gift to be able to connect them with a book that they might grow from and find hope in. So, kind of a sad way to end. I should have thought about that. So many choices. What do you do?